What is up, guys? My name is Sean Flack 2.0, and here in the studio via satellite on the Dad's Light podcast is my special guest host, Sensei John. Sensei John, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Sean. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. So we talked about a topic, and I wanted your perspective. Like, you know, we've talked about having kids and being dads in the past. So
yeah, sure.
This thing had hit me on Facebook that I thought was a pretty interesting topic, and we always talk about dads. So one of the things that came up, it said that in 50 years, nobody's going to know who you are. So don't take life right now so serious that in 50 years, somebody else is going to own your house. Somebody else may be owning your cars. All your things are going to be gone. And then he said, how many people know who their great grandfather is besides it being a picture on a mantle? Like who was your great grandfather? Right. And I can't answer that question. Can you?
Neither can I.
Okay. So that hit me kind of hard. Like, man, there's no documentation that I know of, right? Besides a picture on a mantle. And I'm like, you know what? In the digital age, we can fix that, right?
Like, yes, we can.
Like, I'm alive today. I could talk my story, right? And what I wanted to talk about was my dad, so that my son has some type of chronicle of what his grandfather was like. And just for the record, my dad passed away, and he never met my younger kids. And that's what kind of hit me. Like, he met my older son, but he never physically met my younger kids. They FaceTime together and stuff like that. But beyond that, they really don't know who he is. So I wanted to do this episode to talk about him a little bit and then have something for them to go back and listen to. So that was my thing. And then I know I talked to you about wanting to do something together as a collaboration, and sure. it kind of hit me like I want to talk to somebody about it. So
let's talk.
so what is your thought on just hearing that? Is if you were to come across that on Facebook, what is your thought on something like that?
Well, you know, As just like you, I don't know anything about my great grandfather. I do know something about my grandfather because I grew up with him. My dad, he definitely has been a factor in my life. Definitely has been, you know, a staple in me and what he instilled in me, and I'm grateful for that. And my kids know him, especially, you know, we got the same type of situation. My older son, he really grew up, you know, knowing my dad. The little ones, I mean, they know him as Paw, so, you know, they're growing into it. My son, he's like, what, 3, about to be 4, so he doesn't, maybe he'll remember, you know, at this age, but, you know, my dad's fairly young, too. He's about 58, so, okay. Yeah, served in the military and stuff like that, but hearing that, you know, I really do, feel for me and you, and we didn't get a chance to meet, you know, the factor that was in my grandfather's life or my dad's life, a person that has been a staple within the family for them. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
This is gonna help our kids understand who we are, our dads are, and so forth.
Right.
And then maybe we can do something with the moms.
Right. And so my family history, because I was actually, that's a great point you brought up, because so my father was 52 when he had me. So I was, I was the 11th out of the youngest out of 11 kids between 7 women.
Right? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's a little tidbit, you know, about my dad. Before we fully get started here. But I had thought about that too because, and then I had a stepmom. And so actually my mom passed away when I was 3. So I didn't get to know my mom. So I can't tell a story about my mom. But my wife, her dad passed away before I met her. Mom remarried. So that's Papa now. But I really don't know too much about my mom or my wife's dad. And I think that would be a good idea to bring that you know, bring that to the show as well. Mm-hmm. To his, you know, my son's grandfather on my mom's side, you know. That is very interesting that you even bring that up, saying that might even be a possibility. So,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I say my dad, but in all honesty, it's my stepdad as well.
Okay.
So you had a stepmom, I had a stepdad. Okay. But he's been in my life since I was, you know, 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
So blood doesn't mean anything in this, for me, in this sense.
Right.
You feel me?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
My real dad, I didn't know.
Okay.
You know, I never met him. I met his family and also like my cousin I grew up with, which was his sister's son.
Okay. Your first cousin or your.
Yeah. My first cousin, right. For sure. Yeah. And but other than that, and then I found out I had a sister, two sisters and a brother and, you know, all that type of stuff.
Right.
But when it comes to my dad, I met my great grandmother. My grandmother is still living.
Okay.
And my grandfather and, you know, my dad and mom or whatever. So that's just a little bit of something about me. So, yeah, I have another family,
right.
But I consider him, because I have his last name, as my dad.
Right. No, and I totally feel about the whole blood doesn't necessarily mean family. And mm-hmm. that gives us the opportunity to pick who our family is. And like I said, stepdad, I mean, the same thing with my stepmom. I might reveal some stuff on maybe on another episode how, you know, unfortunately I had a falling out with mine. But again, that's a topic for another day.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I just want
to tell me something about your dad.
Right. Thank you. You know what? Sensei John, I think I will. All
right, let me hear.
So, just like, kind of like I started, right? My dad was 52 when he had me. So he already lived two lives before he had me. Mm-hmm. So I only could quote, or I only could, you know, speak on my experience with him. And growing up, I grew up in East Oakland, and he was a struggling. East
That's what my mom always called it, East Oakland.
East Oakland, right? So, you know, for the most part, my vision of my dad, he was a struggling single father of three. And, you know, just some of the memories I had of him, like, you know, I'm young and stupid, right? My dad was a mechanic. So let's go back, right? My dad was.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Hey, we share a lot of things together. So my dad is a mechanic as well.
Okay.
He's just a mechanic in the military.
Right. Oh.
So, you know.
I'm gonna talk about that. Funny story. Okay, so let's go back. My dad was born in 1929, but his birth certificate says 1932 because he was born on a farm in Cebu. And I'm saying, do I really know?
It's in the Philippines,
right? So when they were born, they didn't get birth certificates until they were taken to the hospital. Right. To get the birth certificate. So obviously he was born, you know, on the farm. They didn't take him to the hospital 2 years later, 3 years, whatever it was. So his birth certificate says 1932, but he was actually born in 1929.
Okay.
The other thing about my dad is he was a farmer, but he didn't want to be a farmer. Right. So he
didn't want to be.
He didn't want to live on a farm. Well, that's kind of like was that. So he left the farm when he was of age and went to the city. And the sad part about that is his brother came to the city and said.
So the city is Manila?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So he went, and maybe it wasn't Manila at the time. Like maybe it was because Cebu's in the south. So it's a couple boat trips and bus trips to get to Manila. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know. But he
wasn't easy.
No, not at all. but he left the farm to go to the city, and he became a mechanic. And so he would tell me that his brother came and said, "Hey, Dad needs you back at the farm. Right, you need to come back." And my dad was like, "Nah, I don't want to be a farmer." Right, he said, "I'm gonna go to America." He was like, "Because in the Philippines, and this is something that always stuck with me, is that he, if you were born a farmer in the Philippines, you were going to die a farmer. And he didn't, okay. He didn't want that. So he wanted to come to America to, you know, do something else.
So, his reprieve.
Right. And so the funny thing is, you say about military is he joined a construction company, and he was a heavy equipment mechanic, and he was recruited, you know, so the Filipinos, they were recruited not into the military service, but into construction to build like the barracks on Guam and stuff like that. So he was called an H2 worker is what was called.
That's crazy. My dad got a construction MOS in the military as well.
Right. So I'm gonna go to this next spot, that I'm gonna give you a chance to talk about your dad, just to kind
of. No, it's all good. I'm all ears. We going down the line because I'm sitting here agreeing with everything, and you explaining my dad a little bit.
Okay, so he ended up coming to Guam, and he helped build the barracks there. So the funny story about that is, like, you know, so he left, and it was called Black Construction at the time. So they got contracted to go to Guam and build the barracks and the Air Force base or whatever, the Navy base or whatever he was building. And so he would always hang out with all the military guys. And this is a funny story he would tell all the ladies, right? Because they would go to the bar and they'd be like, oh, you know, where do you serve? Where do you serve? Where do you serve? Or, you know, what ship are you on? And this is even a story that, you know, they even told at his memorial. But basically, when the ladies would ask him, like, oh, hey, you know, what ship do you move on? Or what ship do you serve on? He would say, oh, I'm in the Navy and I'm on the USS Never Move. Right. And so we're so he said, you know, and it was like a submarine or something. He said, that's the USS Never Move. And that's, you know, how he would, you know, hang out with all his military friends or whatever. But he was a mechanic through there. So that's his little jaunt going from the Philippines, starting his way to America. So I'm gonna cut it right there. And let's tell me a story about your dad.
Story. He was born in 1965 in East Oakland.
Okay. East Oakland.
Oh boy. And him and my mom, well, let me say, it's funny cause him and my son kind of like have a commonality, cause my son is in the military too now.
Okay.
And growing up, you know, I was so young and having my son, you know, my parents really helped me out, especially my dad. You know what I mean? Because he really, like, it was another, for him, it was another kid to have, you know, for another boy.
Right.
Born 1965. And I don't know if it's a funny story, but it's a story me and my dad always share because knowing him now, he's so mild-mannered. Like, nothing shakes him. Like, he's just so cool. Always, like Stuart Scott said, he cooler than the other side of the pillow. Always. And I would have never thought, like, my dad would have been somebody. I mean, I guess growing up in Oakland, you know, you got to be a little rough, a little, you know. And he always tells this story, and hopefully it's not too inappropriate, but.
Hey man, it's rated the podcast rated M, so or whatever the maximum rating.
Oh, okay,
we could cuss and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. This involves a little artillery. So I mean, he was like, you know, yeah. Okay, so let me get back. Him and my son shared a commonality and because they're he was 17 when he graduated. And he actually, like, went into the military. They wouldn't let my son into the military until he was actually 18, so he had to wait.
Okay.
He was on, like, a depth program. So my dad went into the military at 17, went down to Texas, did his basic training, and he had to end up staying in Texas for
AIT?
School. And AIT.
Yeah,
AIT and everything else. And it's funny because my son had to do the same exact thing.
Okay.
Same. Everybody else got to go some other places. He ended up staying like in Pensacola or something.
Oh, okay.
You know,
well, Pensacola's Florida, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
He's in the Navy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's funny because I had to show him that what's that song? With in the Navy with
is that the Village People?
Yeah. He had never heard of it. He got a good laugh out of that.
Right.
So it was funny. But yeah, so they share a lot in common or whatever. But my dad's very mild mannered, from Oakland, you know. Really wasn't like caught up in nothing, really wasn't doing stuff like in the streets or anything. But he always tell his story about, you know, it's a sad story because his cousin, you know, was killed in Oakland or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know when he revealed this to me, but I was in such shock as you know, his son, that he told me that when he was in at the funeral, I guess some people had rolled by and they tried to like bust on the funeral.
How you busting on a funeral though? I mean,
man, that's
okay. East Oakland in the East Oakland.
You know, I'm like, what? And lo and behold, here he say, and he got people to cooperate his story too. And I'm like, nah, this can't be him. He out there with his nine on his hip, busting back. I'm like, oh no, for real? I mean, I know, you know, he in the military and all that, but this was before his military days.
Right.
This is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons why he went into the military too, though.
Okay. To get out them because streets.
To get out them Oakland streets.
Right.
So it's funny because he was born in Oakland, raised in Oakland, but he went to high school in Vallejo, which is where I'm from.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's where I grew up at. And he had this one military friend, God rest his soul. His name was Jehola. They called him Ho-Hola because he was a hoe. You know? Hey, that man had women up the yin-yang.
Hey, a wife at every port, right?
Man, I was like, damn, that's your boy? And he was just the coolest dude or whatever. But when I was growing up or whatever, and one of the sayings they always used to tell me, it was like, man, Jonathan, if you don't remember anything, because I used to ask some random questions, and I might have asked him a question about something, like, man, you know, how you know, or what be going over there, or something like that. And it was like, man, wherever you at, that's where it's happening. Don't worry about nothing else. That was always stuck with me. Wherever you at, that's where it's going on at.
Right.
You know, like I would ask him, like, always, and I'll keep this with me to today, is my son, he had asked me, what does beer taste like? And I tell him, when I ask that question, they all say it tastes like horse piss. You know, I'm like, well, shit, how do you know horse piss tastes like, you know? And it's just a funny joke. So he had this friend in the military, and he was just so cool. When my dad went to like fight in the war and he was home, he would help us out and stuff like that. But yeah, my dad served 35 years in the military.
Well, thank you for your service.
I will. He met my mom when I was like 2 or 3 years old. I got, you know, two other siblings. So I only got two other siblings, with him and, you know, my family, my immediate family. And, yeah, I got a brother who's like 6 years apart. We're 6 years apart. And I got a sister who we're 10 years apart. And born and raised. We're all raised in Vallejo. I was born in Oakland, raised in Vallejo. And they were both born in Vallejo.
Okay.
So, yeah, just a hardworking, you know, man. Very, you know, admirable in everything that he does. Always, man,
he's Captain America, basically.
To me, he is.
Okay.
Hey. To me, he is. Like, I go to him for everything. Right. If I can't, if I go to my mom and dad, but my dad, like, when I want to make sense of something, I always go to him.
Right.
And me and my friend, one of my best friends, like my brother, my boy Ron, he used to get the long-winded, because my dad's a reverend too.
Okay.
He get the long-winded sermons along with me whenever we did something a knucklehead.
Right.
whenever we was a knucklehead,
right?
This I'm talking about, like, he would start off, and Ron to this day always be like, you know, your dad had them message, and it was so long. He'd be like, now, mind you, he'd be like, mind you, I have to woo woo woo, and he just go into this long rant that is just like, by the time you done, I mean, we'd be sitting there for about 45 minutes listening to him
right
get on us and tell stories and help us understand, you know,
right,
make sense of everything. So yeah, my dad is just like, you know, my hero.
Hey man, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, yeah. we all strive to be that for our kids, right? Especially our sons, right?
We do.
So no, that's, you know, if you were to say something, right, let's just, you know, let's switch gear, you know, share a little bit about our pops. But if you were to share a lesson that your dad taught you, that just, you know, or something that really holds a lot of weight, what would you share? Now, I don't want to put you on a spot, so I'm going to share first. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And then, give me some time.
Right, and then I'll kind of hit you.
I'm sure it'll pop up.
Okay, all right. So my dad, he told me, right, when I'm growing up, my dad's a mechanic, so he was a mechanic in East Oakland. He had a spot called Kayak America Motors on East 14th and Seminary. Right, L&A Motors was, they used to sell cars, and my dad was on the side. He did body work. He taught me how to weld. He taught me how to do body work. We worked on cars. I mean, I grew up working on Fox Body Mustangs. That's oh, what nice. He did, right? And I ain't gonna lie to you, I hated him for it. Because I couldn't go out and play. You know what I'm saying? I had to go work in the shop. But that'll be another story. Anyways, so one day, you know, he tells me, he says, you know, Sean, I don't want you to be a mechanic, right? He said, I don't want you to be a mechanic. And I didn't understand why. Because a mechanic is a good job, right? Even to this day, you know, knowing how to work on something, cars, airplanes, motorcycles, whatever, it's a good job. It's nothing to be like, it's not a good job. Yeah. And one of the things that he told me about that is he just said, I want you to be better than me. So even though a mechanic is a good job, he said, my father was a farmer and I became a mechanic. So if I become a mechanic, you need to be more than a mechanic, right? Now, I'm not saying, you know where I work, right? So I'm not saying, yeah. I'm not saying I'm more than a mechanic,
right? I can say it. Right.
But he told me that. He said, I don't want you to be a mechanic. And one of the things that I took from that was, it wasn't the fact of the job or the prestige of it or the skill of it. It was, he just wanted me to be more than him, regardless of what that meant. And right. So when I talked to my son, I told him, you know, I don't want him to work where we work, right? I don't want him to do that. Right. Not saying it's a bad job or a bad place to work, but I want you to be more than me. And, you know, that's something I'm going to tell my son. You know, I continue to tell my son, I'm going to tell my younger kids too. You know, I don't want you to do what I'm, and I never understood why he didn't want me to be a mechanic until I got older and was like, that makes sense now as a father to be like knowing my dad's story that he left the farm to become what he felt was better than a farmer. And then he came here and he built himself up. And then he told me, and I'm the youngest boy, and he told me he didn't want me to be like him. And as I got to know a little bit more about him and his story, not from my perspective, it made even more sense. Because remember earlier I said my dad had two lifetimes before he had me, and all I saw was a struggling, older, single dad. Well, he had a very colorful life. And like I said, 11 kids with 7 women, that's pretty colorful.
Papa was a brother and stuff.
Right. So when I heard, when he told me that, I just kind of moved forward with that. And that's the story I want to share. Like the one thing that he always, like, be better than me. And again, I love him and respect him so much that when I got the job, he was telling all his friends, You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, my son, and blah, 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 blah. Super juiced, super excited. He came to the job a couple times and was super juiced about it. And so I was happy about that. That's what I heard, that, you know, I made him smile, made him, okay, he told me not to be like him. And he was proud that even though I'd love to go back and learn, you know, go back and getting to, you know, fixing on cars and stuff like that. It's just not in the books for me. But that was just one of the things I wanted to share to you and whoever else wants to listen about my father, you know, or you know, for my son or my kids, their grandfather. And if this goes the distance, their great grandfather. So
exactly. I mean, that holds a lot of weight with me because I feel you. And I know that's one thing my dad always, you know, he never expressed it like that, but he always pushed me and in that direction. And I could say, you know, I may not, as of right now, I still got a long way to go to work. So,
you know, let's just say just take off and skyrocket. You know?
Right. We get syndicated and we'll be good.
You know, but, you know, it's funny because my brother, I've said the same things, said those words came out of my mouth. I want him to be better than me. My son, for sure. And I believe that even just him going to the military, because he scored real high on his admin. My son, you know, he knows some top secret shit that I don't even know. Right. You know?
Right.
My son is, you know, going on to be in cybersecurity. I mean, that's totally... I mean, he's getting his education. That's one thing I didn't end up like doing is going to college and getting my education. So he's already surpassed me.
Well, I'm in the same
in that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my duty has been done with that.
Right.
As far as my dad though, and one of the things he instilled in me, and he really had to, like, I wouldn't say push me or anything, but he always told me to finish whatever I started. Whatever I started, I have to finish it.
Right.
So I used to take martial arts. I did martial arts from, and that's why I call myself Sensei John.
Okay.
I did martial arts from, and I'm going to be a sensei in this podcast and industry too.
For sure. For sure.
But I took martial arts from the age of 9 to the age of 18. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To the age of 18. So, and then I did football and ran track and everything else. But he came to every event. And the only reason I kept, I ain't going to say the only reason, what I loved about him is that he came to every event. I mean, I think he came to all my football games, even if my mom couldn't make it or whatever. She was too tired. She worked her butt off. She carried mail for and was a supervisor at the post office.
Okay.
For 35 years, sure. You know what I mean?
Thank you for her service, too.
You know, yeah. My mom was a beast, though. She used to, so they both were in the service. I'm drawing a blank right now. The people that be on the Coast Guard.
Oh,
she was in the Coast Guard.
Right.
You know, jumping out of planes and things of that nature. I'm right. Man.
Yeah, rappelling down helicopters and shit like that.
Yeah, I didn't get the exciting bug, I guess, you know. But anyway, these two peas in a pod. But yeah, that's one thing he always instilled in me. It was, and it's what I instilled in my kids and everything else. Once you start something, finish it. You know what I mean? Make sure you work your hardest. Make sure you put your effort into it. Put all your effort into what you're doing and what you're focused on. I mean, your story was like great. I love your story.
Yours isn't? What are you talking about?
No, I'm just saying. Yours hit me in my heart, though. Oh. I really love that. You know what I mean?
You know, I appreciate that, but I mean, your story is the same because I'm a dad and I want that for my kid. And I feel that, like, I feel you know, and so this content creation thing, I started it 10 years ago when I became a forward. Oh, when I got promoted, because the promotion was so stressful. I needed something to, you know, get my mind off of what I was doing. And so I've been doing this for 10 years. And obviously...
you sound like it.
So, but obviously it's a hobby, right? So I've learned a lot. I've built up my stuff over time. I've, you know, I failed a bunch of times. And that, what you said about not quitting and finishing it, being a dad, you know, we put our shit on the back burner, right?
Like we do.
Right. Because it's because it's about our kids, about our family. You know, that's, you know, quote unquote, what the man's supposed to do, provide, protect, you know, all those things, right? And so I've always put it on the back burner. But coming out of college, even before I had my son, I was going to art school.
Okay.
So you hit me with, like, this is that, not quitting. Like, I'm not done yet with this. Like, I'm in my 40s. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not done with content creating. I'm not done with wanting to write and do my scripts and collaborate with people like you. And that solidifies the fact that, you know, finish what you started.
Exactly.
You know, and that coming from your dad and instilling that into you and you being happy that you did things and he was there to watch you do it. And these are the things that you started, you know, went through the phase and now you're kind of moving on to other things. But I'm not done with this. I'm not done with this. And even though I put it on the back burner for so long, or it's always been like more hobbyish, I still want to put some type of energy into it so I could keep it going, so I didn't let it die. So, you know, this is the episode, like the last episode I posted was 3 months ago when I did a collaboration with some other people. And I'm glad, like I said, it's hard to do. And, you know, like I said you had your podcast and you're talking topics and things like that.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah. It's hard to do by yourself. Right. But but if you got somebody to talk and to shoot different ideas off of, it makes it that much easier. So that's why I was super excited when, you know, we kind of like just hit it like, oh, yeah, you got the Discord. I got the Discord. Oh, you know, I'd be interested in learning how to do this. And I'm like, well, I have a lot of knowledge and I can share it if you want to come on and co-host with me. You know what I'm saying? And get this stuff together. So I was like, I'm happy that we were able to hit on this level. And
me too, dog. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, just when we talked that one time.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you told me about this podcast before. But, you know, our different time, we had different points in our life that, you know, we kind of, after, you know, our schedules changed, you were working nights, I was working days or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, we had a little time apart.
Right.
And then when you hit me with, you know, I do this. This is my, I was like, you know what? I forgot. Cause you heard me that I was like showing interest that I really wanted to do this. Right. And I didn't realize, like, even just being here now, how much energy and how much
like excitement,
energy and like hard work this can be though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, it's different from just having a conversation, just, you know, me and you, whatever. We are having a conversation.
Right.
But it does take a little bit more fine tuning and work, though, as well.
Right. Right. And
you sound like when you was out here doing this, I was like, oh, he been doing this. You know, this is his thing. You know, I can see it in you.
And I appreciate that. You know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, again, going back to our fathers, right? My dad was a professional. Like, I really felt like my dad was, you know, but he, so just like your dad, get the shit done. Mm-hmm. And you know, surround yourself with people. And I'll share this about my dad, right? So my dad, because this will go into this whole little topic thing, right? So my dad, when me and my wife got married... And I don't know if I told you this story before. So if you heard it before, just let me finish it.
No, I will.
when we were getting married, my dad came from the Philippines to come to our wedding, right? And so my wife and her friend are sitting with my dad. Now, mind you, my dad, you know, you know what I'm saying, like 85, you know what I'm saying? So they ask him a couple questions, right? And they ask him, so like, you know, what is the key to happiness, right? And he said, he looked at him and he's like, you know, long life. He's like, what's the key to happiness and long life, right? So he said, long life, happiness. He's like, if you want to be happy, go eat some ice cream, right? He said, everybody gets happy when they eat ice cream. Ice cream make everybody happy, right? Yeah. But he said, but everything else take hard work, because happiness gonna come, gonna go. But when it comes to everything else, you need to work at it. So yeah, you're gonna be happy for a little bit, but just like ice cream, once the ice cream's done, right? It, you know, you got to work on your happiness. You can't just keep eating ice cream, right?
Grill.
And so then he said, long life. And this is where I'm going to take this. He said, long life. He said, you surround. He said, I surround myself with people that inspire me. Right. And he said, women inspire me. That's why I have a wife and a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, he said, after you get to a certain age, it's not about the sex anymore, right? It's about the companionship. It's about surrounding yourself with people that make you happy. And if you do that sooner, you realize that sooner, you'll be happier longer. You know, you'll surround yourself. But if you're so caught up about who's around me and kind of wasting your time with people that don't make you happy or inspire you, that's wasted time. You're not going to be happy as long. And that was the key to the long life, was surround yourself with people that inspire you. And he said, you know, women inspire me. So that's, and then of course my wife looks at me and she says, I'm the only inspiration you need.
That's it. That's it. It only take one for you, Sean.
Right. She's like, you better find something else that inspires you.
You know? Hey, that's me too, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, hey, that's the thing.
He was smart.
Well, again, mind you, we're looking at three lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's by right. The time he's 80, you know, so he has said, you know, surround yourself with people that inspire you, make you happy. And then it doesn't matter about sex. And that was kind of like his take about gay, lesbian stuff. He was like, I didn't care about that. Because after a certain age, you ain't getting it no more. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
I mean,
I'm still hoping I'm getting it at 85.
Right. So, yeah. So that's what his take was, surround yourself. So kind of going back to this situation, right? You know, being around positive people, you know what I'm saying? Being around like-minded people to do this makes this easier, makes this worth it, you know? So yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm glad we're able to, you know, be able to talk about our fathers and you know, share and get this thing started. So to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, once we kind of go offline, we're going to talk about what's going to happen next. And you know, so yeah, I mean, that's
you got me excited, man. I'm I'm definitely like, you know, I feel your leadership. You know, in this right now, you know what I mean? You got a good a sense and a good knack for the direction you want your podcast to go. And I'm hoping to build off of something like how you are as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's you know, the more people that do it, the bigger the industry becomes. That's the thing. And I think when it comes to just doing it, you got to do it and put your
shit. That's it.
Yeah. Put yourself out there.
I'm going to tell you, but keep it 100. I know you had asked me this earlier. I was kind of afraid to put myself out there and the things that I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Kind of like, I didn't know if it made sense to people or if it made sense at all. So I was more nervous about just putting it out there.
Right. And that's the thing, right? It's about that small win. Even if your first episode didn't make sense. Right. But you put it out there for people to listen to, and you go back and you listen yourself. And then you go back and, like, you're going to be your worst critic, right?
Yes.
You're going to listen and be like, fuck. But, you know, I've watched a lot of content creators, you know, these Mr. Beast and, like, all these big guys. Yeah. And they're like, just make the next one better. Right? It doesn't got to be multi-million dollar cameras or whatever. Just take one thing and make the next thing better. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, That's real. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I basically got. I know we're running a little short on some time. Is there anything else you would like to kind of add? You know, just kind of talking about the topics of our fathers or anything like that.
No, I just want to give a shout out to my father, to my dad, somebody that's just, you know, my number one, you know, my master sergeant, you know what I mean?
Right.
The guy I love, the guy who's taught me everything, you know, I need to know to be a man, you know, who's been a more of a representation, you know, himself, and more of a person who I strive to be, you know, especially with that cooler than the other side of the pillow. I mean, we were some badass kids. You know what I mean? And he was just always, you know, my mom would go off, but he was just always that, like, usa, you know? Uh-huh. He come in and clean up the mess, you right. know? Right. You know, like one of them, like Quentin Tarantino movies where it tell you the wolf. Yeah. Right. He's a master sergeant. You know, he just come in and clean up everything and everybody be hunky-dory afterwards, you
right.
know?
Right, right.
Well, shout out to him, man.
Oh, yeah, that's big, you know. And you know what? And shout out to my dad, too. You know, God rest his soul. You know, one of the things for sure, you know, being a son, right, because I didn't get to know my mom. And the thought was always, like, my dad didn't see the end of my story. Like, I'm still going. And I just hope that as I'm going on this path that when he looks down, he's proud of me. And so the story not over, and I know I got a lot of work to do myself as well. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, shout out to my pops, too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I appreciate you back on here, Sensei John. That's basically going to be the time we have for today's episode. If you got any questions, comments, or emotional outbursts, and this will be something that we talk about a little bit. If you got any, and we'll probably do a better outro on the next episode. But, you know, if you have any questions, comments, emotional outbursts for Sensei John, do you got any socials or anything that if anybody wanted to contact you, that you would have a way for them to, like, hit you on a Twitter or something like that?
No, no Twitter. I used to have one, but I got locked out of it.
Okay.
And I ain't never been able to get back in it.
Okay. Well, like I said, we're going to be a little bit more prepared next time.
Yeah, right? I got an IG, though, if they want to hit me on.
Oh, yeah. IG, okay. So what's the IG?
It's Master Hash Rate. That's underscore hash rate. And I don't know if you know about the hash rate, but I'm you know, I love crypto, and the hash rate is Bitcoin.
Okay.
But that's Master underscore hash rate.
Okay, and then what we'll go ahead and do is we'll make sure we leave that in the description below so that anybody wants to hit you up and kind of talk to you about, and then especially going forward, you know what I'm saying, they'll have a way to be able to hit you up and kind of see what you're about, you know, offline, off the podcast. And if anybody has any questions, comments, or emotional outbursts for me, I mean, you could look me up, Sean Flack 2.0 on everything. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, or X, as they call it. You can find me on IG, same thing, Sean Flack 2.0 there. And obviously, you're either watching this on the YouTube, so it'll be on my YouTube page, Sean Flack 2.0, or you're listening to the podcast. The Dad's Life Podcast, anywhere you can find a podcast. So that's Google, Apple, it's on Spotify. So any of the major things you find your podcast, hit us up. And again, questions, comments, emotional outbursts, holler at us, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, and peace out.